Good morning. Welcome. Before we begin our Bible teaching today, I would like to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, and we thank you and we praise you that you are a God who is in control of all things. In a world which seems to be out of control, we know and we can take comfort in knowing that you are a God who oversees everything. And you will use all the things in our life that go on this day to conform us, to transform us, and hopefully draw us closer to you. Lord Jesus, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would empower the Word of God as it's being read today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read something from Billy Graham. It says, a positive influence. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. He writes, I have found that the casual Christian has little or no influence for good upon others. Only the Christian who refuses to compromise in matters of honesty, integrity, and morality is bearing an effect or an effective witness for Christ. The casual, worldly Christian is prepared to do as the world does and will condone practices that are dishonest and unethical because he is afraid of the world's displeasure. He ignores the Bible's clear command, do not be conformed to this world. Only by a life of obedience to the voice of the Spirit of God, by a daily dying to self, by a full dedication to Christ and constant fellowship with Him, that's the key, a constant fellowship with Him, will enable us to live a godly life and have a positive influence on this present ungodly world. Is the world changing you, or are you changing the world? Last week, we finished up the book of Psalm, chapter 1. Remember it said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bring forth its fruit in its season. This is a season where we can bring fruit. There's a lot of hope to be given out by us who are believers to those who are perhaps believers but are not as close to the Lord as they could be. You can give them a word of encouragement. You can teach them the Word of God. You can teach them about prayer and encourage them in their walk with God. In verse 1 of Psalm, it said, he, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. We talked last week about walking in ungodly counsel, standing around with people who are not serving God. We're not witnessing to them, we're just standing with them, conforming to them rather than they conforming to us. Today we're going to look at seating. It says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In Proverbs chapter 23, it says in verse 1, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, someone in authority, someone who has power, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Here it speaks just like in Psalm chapter 1 about seating yourselves. Whom are you seating yourself with? It says when you sit down with a ruler, someone who wants to control you perhaps, or has the ability to control you, if they are evil, that's their desire. If they are godly, they just want to rule over you as according to the Word of God. And it says, consider carefully what's before you. Don't just think about the situation you're in. Pray about the situation. Don't just think about the person you're sitting with. Pray for the person you're sitting with, especially if they are a ruler. The word consider here in the original language is interesting. It's a prime root. Many words come from it. It means to separate mentally or to distinguish right from wrong, to understand, to perceive, to discern. For if there is someone who wants to take control of you, some kind of an authority, it could be a boss or someone you live with, and they're trying to control you, consider carefully what is before you. And if you are given to that, how it says, if you are given to appetite, if you like that control over you, and it's not a godly control, understand that. It's not what God wants. He wants you to draw closer to Him, to sit down with Him, to submit to Him. And if you do that and you start to walk, as Billy Graham mentioned through the reading of that devotional, God will use you to reach people. If you have someone you're seating with that is ungodly, you need to get away and seek the counsel of God. It says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 23, don't desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Don't be dependent on them because they say it's what you have to do. You seek God. God is your provider, not them. You don't have to worry about them. We've all had to get away from ungodly authorities at one point or another that were making our life miserable. We're going to look at the book of Daniel in chapter 3. What's happening here in chapter 3 is that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken God's children and taken them captive, and he chose the best of them. And his intention is to conform them to his will. His intention is to conform them to his gods, to his way of living. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are a type of the world and of Satan right now. Nebuchadnezzar is in control. He wants to be worshipped. And he's going to cause everyone who lives in his land to worship him. They can worship any other god they want, but they have to worship him as well. Nebuchadnezzar wants to transform them to little Nebuchadnezzars, if you will. That's the same thing Satan wants to do with you. Through the world system, he tries to conform you and I to become like him, to become dependent on him. But God is our provider. Make no mistake of that. Jesus is our deliverer. Be sure that you know that and you live your life that way. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. The king Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. There are many people out there. They could be rulers or they could just be people that are trying to cause you to turn away from the one true God, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and get you to worship other things. Not necessarily to deny you to worship your God, but to introduce you to new gods that you can worship. This is what the world is trying to do to Christians. So important during this time where we haven't gathered as we normally do, but that's okay. Because God is omnipresent. He's with us wherever we go. We don't necessarily need to gather in one building all at one time. We have fellowship one with another through very many different sources, computer, telephone. The key is seek God. Be sure you're praying, because going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. You can go to church and never know God. You can sing the songs and never really know God. You could listen to the sermon and raise your hand and say, praise God, that was great. But are you seeking the God of the Bible? Are you spending time in private? That's what's important. You see, when these guys were taken captive, that we're going to be looking at, Daniel and his friends, they were in an ungodly place, surrounded with lots of fellowship, but with ungodly guys, and they stayed true to the one true God. They stayed true to God, Jehovah, Jesus, our Father. They stayed true. It says that all these guys, everybody who's anybody, was there. All the administrators, the judges, everyone who had position. Isn't that how the enemy works? He tries to make you feel important. Well, you see, all these guys are here, and all these gals are here, and these top-ranked military people, and all these governors, everybody of importance in this world, exactly, in this world. But God, he's not being glorified. They want to glorify themselves. It says that in verse 4, they herald a cry aloud. To you, it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know God yet. I believe he may know him later on in towards the end of the chapter. But right now, he's an instrument in the hand of Satan. And in verse 6 it says, whoever does not fall down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar built, whoever does not fall down and worship will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. This is getting serious. He's saying, I don't care what gods you worship as long as you worship the one that I built. Don't be conformed to this world, it said. Chapter 12, verse 2. We are always going to be presented with the gods of this world. What are you going to do? You're at a party and there's sex, drugs, and alcohol. Which of those three gods are you going to choose? Or you're influenced by others to do harm to others. Don't fall prey to the deceptions of the devil and of the world. Of all the important people, like we see here in chapter 3, just because they're doing it doesn't make it right. Seek God for everything that you do. So in verse 7, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, symphony with all the kinds of music, all the peoples and nations, the different languages that had gathered together, they fell down and they worshiped the gold image. This is a huge image. It's about 90 feet tall, 18 feet wide by our standard of measurement. And they raise it up, this huge golden image which Nebuchadnezzar had built. And everybody started to worship it. They fell down and they worshiped it. Why? Because they were told to. You see, we're to come under our authorities except when it goes against the word of God. That's all. The Bible has a higher rank than the laws in the land. But we're to obey the laws. Don't be disobedient to the laws. For there is no law that is in place which has not been established by God. It says in Romans again. So here they bowed down and they started to worship this image. And in verse 8, therefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews, the ones that had been taken captive, like Daniel and his friends. And they spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn and the flute and the harp and the lyre and the psaltery, the singing and the symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. Isn't it amazing how some people can quote their heroes verbatim, word for word, just like they did there in verse 9 and 10? But they can't quote scripture. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in God. That's where we need to find our peace and our comfort and our delight. Amen? Verse 11 says, And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, must be judged by the laws of our land, in other words. There are these certain Jews whom you, Nebuchadnezzar, have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. There's Shadrach, there's Meshach, and Abednego. These are guys who hung out with Daniel. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar got in a rage, and he was furious. How dare them? And he gave a command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Remember, everybody who is anybody was there, and they were dragged in because they didn't bow down. They were disobedient to their authority because he wanted them to worship another god. Nobody can take that from us. You, O Christian, do not be afraid to serve God freely. Do not be afraid to open your mouth to let people know, I serve God. And do not be conformed to the world or to the people in the world. You stand up for God. These guys are standing up for God in a big way. They refused when the whole world that they knew was bowing down to the image. They did not. Nebuchadnezzar brought them in, and he spoke to them, saying, Is it true? Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I set up? I've given you a lot. I've done a lot for you. I've brought you to my table, and you've dined at my table, and you will not do as I say. Be careful when you sit with a ruler, it said in the book of Proverbs, remember, 23? Consider carefully what is before you. Thank God that these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not given to appetite or delicacies or anything that the king has to offer. They're committed to God. Are you? Are you committed to God? The world could be falling apart and you're still praising God. Things are horrible in the world and some people are suffering. We can still praise God, not for the suffering, because we know that at the end, God is going to make things right. These are a sign or things to come. Be strong, Christian soldier. Put on your warfare, your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your sword of the Spirit, your shield of faith, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the things we're to do. Go out and win the kingdom for God by our gentleness, by our goodness, by our obedience to what God calls us to be obedient to. Now he speaks to them roughly, harshly, and he says, If you are ready at the time when you hear the sound of the horn, I'm going to try it again, guys, and I want you to worship the image, is what he's saying here. When the flute and the harp, the songs and the symphony and all kinds of music starts up again, you fall down and you worship the image which I made, then good. You'll be okay. I'll give you a second chance. I'm going to do it again. Let's see if you fall down. He's giving them another opportunity to be disobedient to their God, Jehovah. How many times have you been given opportunity to be disobedient to your God? And how many times have you taken that opportunity? If you have, Just repent. And he says, but if you do not worship, I'm giving you another chance. He says, but if you do not worship the image, then you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Wow. He obviously doesn't know our God. And he obviously thinks he is God of gods right there. He believes that no God is more powerful than himself. That's Nebuchadnezzar, the king that they're standing before. So in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and I love their answer. I just love the way they were respectful and honest to the point. They answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, Nebuchadnezzar, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. That's courageous. That's correct. That's commitment. The way they live by faith, not by fear. No matter what's happening in the world around them, they will not bow a knee to any other god. We need to have faith like them. Though it cost our life, I'm not saying that we need to have a death wish. There may come a day when we have to stand up for our God. They know that they are being held in captivity here in the book of Daniel. And they're not going to bow down. And they're going to be killed by a fiery furnace. But it doesn't faze them. They made it clear their position. They will never serve any other God other than our God. The God of the Bible, the one true God. Jesus left heaven to come down to suffer at the hands of men, evil men like Nebuchadnezzar. And they took his physical life. But man, were they surprised when they found out this is God. Serve Jesus. Serve God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and your spirit. In verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke to the commanders, and he commanded them to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated up to. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor. In other words, these are the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar, the special ops guys, the ones who are highly trained. He was taking no chance to prove his authority, his power over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wanted them to know they've blown it. They're dead. And they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They were bound. The word bind here is from head to toe. They couldn't move anything. In verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and their other garments. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fire. It says in verse 22, therefore, because of the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot that when they carried them in there, they died. It consumed them. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. As he paused, he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, the people with him, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Well, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th one is like the Son of God. Whatever fire you're in, Jesus is with you, whatever you're going through now. Jesus is your Savior. Look to Him for your salvation. Don't look to the king of the land. Don't look to the princes of the land. You look to Jesus. They're walking around unscathed by the fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar goes near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke to them, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He's starting to get a glimpse of who their God is and how powerful their God is. Have you had a glimpse of God lately? Have you seen His mighty hand work in your life? Have you seen Him lift you up from darkness into everlasting light? Do you feel His presence? Do you know your God? Do you serve your God? If you do, then come out. Come out of whatever situation you have. Leave it behind you. Go forward and follow Christ. Regardless what anyone says, you listen to the word of God. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors, they gathered together and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel, capital letter, it's a theophany, a Christophany, was Jesus Himself, and delivered His servants who trusted in Him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god, little g, except their God, big G. Nebuchadnezzar is getting introduced to God here by these men of faith who, regardless of the situation, refuse to conform to this world. How about us? Have we conformed to this world? Are we letting this world change who we are? We shouldn't. There's no reason for us to conform to this world if we have God. These guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even Daniel, or Belteshazzar, that was the Babylonian name that Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel. Belteshazzar means Bel, one of Nebuchadnezzar's gods. Bel protects his life. You see, he changed their name when he took them captive. That's what the enemy wants to do. You've been serving God and you've been serving Him well. Satan wants to change your name. Daniel means God is judge. It has the word El in there. El is one of the key syllables or words in the word Elohim. Names for God come from that word. So Shadrach means command of a coup. Meshach means who is a coup? Other gods of the Babylonians. These are Babylonian names that they were given, trying to conform them to Babylonian culture, lifestyle, and worship. Abednego, servant of Nego, another god of theirs. Shadrach, command of a coup. His real name is Hananiah. Jehovah is gracious. Meshach is, who is a coup? His real name is Mishael. There's that El in there again of God. Who is what God is? And Abednego, servant of Nego, Babylonian name, Azariah, the Lord is my helper, or the Lord of help. Everybody knows them by their Babylonian names. And a lot of Christians don't even know them by their God-given names, their Jewish names, their Hebrew names. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You see, God has called us to be lights in the midst of darkness. The enemy, just like Nebuchadnezzar, Satan's desire is isolation, indoctrination, and insubordination. That's what the Babylonians were trying to do. Isolate them away from their homeland, away from their synagogue, to change who they were. Now with the whole COVID thing, it doesn't matter if we meet at the church or not. They cannot take God from us. Is this persecution? I don't think so. But I think persecution is coming. But nevertheless, if they put us in isolation, we should only grow stronger. Just like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Don't be indoctrined by the things going around the world, what you see on Facebook or whatever else, or even by other Christians. You seek God. Insubordination, don't go there. Don't say, well, forget it, you know. I don't have work. I don't have what I used to have. I'm just going to walk away from God. Don't do that. That's a trick of the enemy. That's what he's trying to do here with Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and with us. Don't you forget for a minute that you serve a mighty and powerful God. And he is with you everywhere you go. And you serve him with a humble heart. And you serve him well. As you go out this week, don't let anyone bring you down. Don't even let yourself bring you down. Just turn to God, pray, and he will be the lifter of your head. Focus your eyes on him, and it'll be a glorious sight. When you're weary, follow his path, and he will give you rest. God is our judge. Jesus is our deliverer. He's our king. He's our savior. He's our God. Father God, we want to just say a prayer. And Father, if there's anyone out there who does not know you as King, as Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit introduces them to you here today. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you reach their heart, Lord God, each and every one of us. Conform us to you, Lord God, not to this world. Help us to stand in righteousness. We can stand in your word. We can stand in Jesus. He is the righteous King. And we can point people to Jesus. Those who are lost, those who are hurting, and help us to provide, Lord God, for those who are suffering. Help us to be Jesus to those you call us to be Jesus to. Wherever they are, Lord God, those who are hurting, help us to bring comfort. If you've never received Jesus, just ask him into your heart. Be sincere and say, Jesus, I haven't followed you. I've heard of you. But I need to ask you to come into my heart. I want to serve you, Lord. I recognize the things around us are different. And perhaps that's what's convinced me. But more importantly, I know it's your Holy Spirit drawing me in. And I want to give you my life, Lord. Come into my life. I receive the free gift of salvation that you afford to me. And I'm sorry for placing you on the cross, Lord, because of my sin. The gods that I served, I ask, let me forsake them, Lord, and serve the one true God. Jesus, come into my heart. God bless you. Jesus loves you. If you need help in any way, feel free to call the church. And we can help you. We can pray with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Christ.